Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to another segment of Complete Wellness with Cindy, the Busy Woman's Cheerleader. This is the channel where women from all walks of life can stop by, get tools and resources to help them thrive 360 in mind, body, spirit, and finances. I invite you to stay connected, subscribe to this channel, and visit me online at thecindyrand.com. Now for today's segment. Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to another segment of Complete Wellness with Cindy, the Busy Woman's Cheerleader. So super excited today, as usual, to bring our special guests. But first, let's do a little housekeeping.
Entrepreneurs don't just need annual tax pros. They need an accounting partner that understands the nuances of their industry all year long. Envision Tax and Accounting Services supports you and your business with full-service accounting, bookkeeping, payroll, tax services, and expert business consultation, delivered by a team with over three decades of experience. Innovative entrepreneurs trust Envision Tax and Accounting Services to create smart systems, leverage the right technology, and build financial processes that support long-term growth and profit. Whether you're just starting out, are an established company, or a nonprofit, we meet you where you are. Customizing virtual or traditional accounting solutions that fit your workflow, budget, and goals. Got questions? We've got answers. Contact Envision Tax and Accounting Services today to schedule your free consultation. Visit us at www.etaaservices.com or by calling 407-951-1492 and let us help you enjoy your envisioned business. That's www.envisiontaxandaccounting.com or 407-951-1492.
I attribute my success to this. I never gave or took any excuses. And that comes from Florence Nightingale. If you would please help me welcome Beth Twybe. Beth is the founder and director of Raise Her CIC, delivering funded programs to women covering mindset, confidence, wellness, employment, and businesses. Her background in marketing has trained her as a midwife, and she's here with us today chiming in from the UK. Hello, Beth. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Thank you very much for having me on today.
You are welcome. You are welcome. So tell us about your journey. How did you get to where you are to found an actual organization that helps women? Mindset is very important and all the things relevant for women.
Yeah, definitely. I went a bit around the houses, to be honest with you. I was planning to go to university at 18, natural progression from what I was doing. And I found out I was pregnant at 18. So it kind of changed my plans a little bit. And then I had a baby, became a single mom, and decided I was going to go back to university because everybody told me when you become a teenage mom, you're not going to go to university. So I thought, what better way than to prove them wrong and go to university and do something that I thought I was really going to enjoy. So I qualified as a midwife, and I just realized I couldn't deliver the care and the empowerment to women that I thought I was going to be able to within our healthcare system. And after having my third child, I realized for my family and for myself, it just wasn't going to work for us with me returning to the NHS to be a midwife. And I thought, how can I best do the work I enjoy doing and I'm really good at doing in a way that is still accessible to lots of women? And so I went down the nonprofit route, and that's how I ended up being the founder of Raise Her CIC.
Awesome. How long have you been doing that?
We are just getting into the thick of projects now. The company was first set up in November 2024.
Awesome. That is absolutely wonderful. So what would you say would be your most favorite client that you've worked with through your organization? Tell us a story about one of the clients that you helped transition or transform.
I think my favorite type of clients are the women who don't realize they have as much potential as what they have, but they have that feeling that they're not quite happy where they are and they know there's more for them. So recently I was talking to a woman, and she had previously 4 years ago worked at a solicitor's as a receptionist in a law firm, and she had taken 4 years out to have her baby, and she'd been volunteering at playgroups, and she said, nobody's going to employ me, I don't have any skills, and I'm not really sure what to do, I'm not able to get a job. So we sat down and we went through all her skills, and by the end of it, no joke, I had a whole A4 sheet of paper of all the skills that she had, from her previous job, her role as being a volunteer at a playgroup, and her role of being a mum, because I think a lot of women underestimate the skills that being a mum brings to your
Yes,
life.
absolutely.
And I think, yeah, just being in that situation where you can point out to women that they have so much more potential than they realize, and stopping them in their tracks when they're putting themselves down and saying that they're not capable of something. So I think the transformation from being doubtful to believing in themselves is my favorite type of client.
Oh, that is wonderful. That is wonderful. So, how does that shape you now with all that you've got going on, like with your family?
It is something that I work around my family. So I think anybody who has had businesses will know that it's a lot more flexible in terms of when you work. I don't think it's true that you work any less than a 9 to 5.
You read my mind. You absolutely read my
But I do feel like you're not
mind.
stuck in that situation where you're somewhere for X amount of hours per day and you can't leave. And I also don't think you hit that glass ceiling with pay per hour. So if you are in a period of your life where money is not the top priority, then you can drop down a little bit and you have that flexibility to create for yourself. I create my projects with women in mind, firstly, but secondly, myself. I need to be there as a present mum and a present partner within my household. So I make sure I create my projects to fit that. And I am working with a lot of mums, so it tends to align with exactly what they want as well in terms of when I'm delivering one-to-one or face-to-face webinars, that the timing works out perfectly.
Awesome. So let me ask you this. How did it make you feel looking back at 18-year-old Beth? How does that make you feel for, I would say, you to be stereotyped as you would not make it because you were a teenage mom? How did that make you feel then? And how, when you look back on that, how has that shaped your journey?
I think at the time I was in a very privileged position. I have a very strong-minded mum, and I am very aware that I would not be where I am now without her.
Absolutely.
And she helped me to believe that I could do what I wanted to do. And she was my co-parent. She was the person who encouraged me to go to university and encouraged me to take the opportunities that give you that confidence to know that your life isn't over just because you've decided
Absolutely.
to have a
Absolutely.
baby.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I think I would just tell myself it's all going to be okay. Like, having a baby is not the end of the world. It makes everything a little bit more difficult, but I think it puts everything on fast forward. You have to figure out in a very small amount of time how to be an adult, how to not put yourself first all the time, and how you're going to figure out your life while supporting another human being in the process.
I always say that even with my daughter in the earlier years, I always say she gave me focus. You know, they have the ability to give you focus when you care. You know, you have some people who don't care, they pass the buck. But as you said, it's not the end of the world, but they will give you focus. They will give you focus because what you're learning is, like you said, how to balance everything. You're learning to not be as selfish if you were selfish. Or you're learning that it's not all about your needs, it's about the extra needs for the extra things that you have in your hand. So it's really interesting to me when I read your story because I can definitely relate to that stereotype that people a lot of times try to put us in as ladies. When you're younger, you're in a box, and when you're older, you're in a box. It's either going to be because of your marital status, your age. You know, your where you are in life with your career or your business or your financial tax bracket. They're all different types of boxes, including, weight, height, color, creed, all of those different things. So how have you overcome those types of barriers that are, systematically set in place for ladies that a lot of times we're able to, move around? How have you been able with your organization to encourage ladies and keep yourself encouraged? With positive, optimistic thinking and thoughts, with that in mind, all those barriers in mind.
I think recently I read a quote actually that I think sums it up, and it was, everybody has a sad story, but it's up to you whether you're the victim of that sad story. And
That's good.
you will go into adulthood, and everybody will go into adulthood with different baggage, both mentally, physically, within their lives, that will provide them with barriers and it will provide them with limiting beliefs. And at some point, you have to realize that there is only you going to do it for you. So if you are going to identify with what has happened in your childhood, what has happened in your past, what might make your life a little bit tougher getting to a certain position than somebody else, and you are going to allow those things to hold you back, then that is ultimately your choice and you have to take responsibility for that choice. And I'm not saying that in a way where I don't appreciate people have very, very real and very, very difficult barriers to get into places. And I also appreciate I'm in a very privileged position to live in the part of the world I live, and I don't have discrimination against me. But if you have opportunities to do things like open a business and go to university and reach your potential, and you are choosing not to do those things, but you're also going to complain about them at the same time, there does become a point. It is a you problem, and you have to do something about that because nobody is coming to do it for you. And I think that's what I try to get across to people in terms of mindset has to come first. There is no point in trying to start a business and trying to make six figures without that mindset there that you can do it. Because until you believe you can do it, you are going to have the blinkers on to the opportunities that are out there for you. And I think, especially in the Western world, we need to realize how privileged we are to even have these opportunities in the first place. So that's one of the things I think is crucial, starting with mindset and realizing what is actually out there and what opportunities we have, and to go and grab them and see how they work out before writing them off.
All right. So, what would be your top three? I would say elevations for mindset to elevate somebody's mindset. What would be your top three?
I think stress is a massive misconception. I think stress is painted out to be the bad guy, but we need stress to survive. And it depends how you frame the stress you are feeling and whether you perceive something as stressful. Because I think once you realize that stress is something you can control, you view things so differently. And I appreciate people go through very, very stressful situations where they can't help but feel stressed. But what you can do is sit back and analyze what you are able to do about it and positives from that situation. So I was talking to somebody recently who her parent was in hospital and she was unwell and she was trying to juggle going to the hospital and looking after her child. But her positive in that situation, once we had a conversation, was that she was able to find childcare to be able to go and see her parent, and she was able to take time off of work because she had a secure career. And she said, in a very non-shallow, non-whimsical kind of way, it made her feel so much better to realize that she did have positives in that situation and things were going to get better. And I think realizing that stress is just a natural physiological response, and we do have some amount of control over it, helps people feeling in control of their own mental well-being to an extent. I think also analyzing the opportunities that you have available to you and analyzing the skills that you have are transferable can take you from one income bracket to a completely different income bracket, and realizing that everything is marketing. If you are starting a business, if you are selling yourself to an employer as a potential employee, absolutely everything is marketing, and you need to put that across to people. And you need to talk about yourself like you are made for that job and you are the best person for that job. Because again, nobody is going to go into rooms and big you up as much as you need to big up yourself to get into those
Absolutely.
situations.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Tell us about Her Soul LTD.
Her Soul is a e-commerce brand, and I set that up because I sit at the intersection with my beliefs between business in terms of traditional business and very spiritual feminine energy business. And I think there is a middle ground where, as females, we need to embrace the fact we aren't men, quite frankly, and
Absolutely.
we are not designed to work like men. Our strengths do not lie in the same place that men's strengths lie. And I think once we embrace those strengths, we can move so much further. So I started a brand which is very spiritual based, but includes a lot of tangible items within the wellness boxes that I sell
Okay.
that help you progress with your development towards the place you want to be. And I think it offers both sides of the coin with practical advice within the nonprofit and more spiritual type of soft feminine advice within her soul.
Okay, so with her soul, how does your faith shape that for you to create that company? How does your faith shape that? What does that look like?
I am a big believer that everything is energy. Everything is what we want to see as, and our brain kind of projects out a reality for us. I believe that somewhere along the way, there is some form of God, whether that's within us, whether it's external to us. And I think if you see yourself as a higher being, and there is a higher being, then it kind of makes your problems seem a little bit easier and a little bit smaller to think there is something bigger than you out there. And it also makes, for instance, posting your first video on Instagram, so many people have a massive barrier with creating content. And I think framing things as so insignificant, as big as it might seem to you, in the whole scheme of the world, it's so insignificant. I think it helps people overcome those barriers. And I think it helps them connect to something bigger and realize that if there is something that big out there, I could be as big as I want to be because there's something even bigger, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does. It absolutely does. A lot of times people, like I said, allow themselves to be boxed in or stereotyped, which limits, their growth. It limits their business. It limits, the different types of areas that they could grow in. They are hampered. A lot of times they are hampered. How do you think personality fits into all of that with whether or not a person's mindset moves forward or hinders them? Sometimes things can help you or it can hinder you. How do you think the personalities kind of fit in with that when you're dealing with a lot of different women? How does that look for you?
I think women have to be ready, and I don't think anything can make you ready if you don't want to be ready. I think some people prefer their problems than the discomfort of working through those problems. And ultimately, if they were being honest with themselves, the idea of staying where they are is preferable to having to work through them. And I think that is okay. That is fine if you don't want to work through those problems and you don't want to work through the limiting beliefs you have to get to where you want to be. But you also have to be okay with the fact that you aren't going to get there until you start making that progress. I think different people respond very differently to different things. Some people do not like the soft, feminine energy, spiritual side of things. And some people really love it and it really helps them on their journey. Likewise, some people really like tough love as such, and some people really need the soft guiding along type of approach. And again, both of those are absolutely fine. I think it is, though, making sure that we aren't firstly wasting their time if they aren't ready to make those moves. I think it's kind of like going on a healthy eating plan until in your head you are ready to make that commitment to eating healthy and exercising. You aren't going to start and stick to it. And I think it goes the same for anything in life until you are ready to make that commitment to yourself and make the time, because everybody can say they don't have time. I think time can be made to do whatever you want to do, then you're not going to do it. And I think sometimes if you are in the thick of a difficult situation, if you are in a situation where you're in a bad relationship or you have very young children, sometimes it's about accepting maybe you do need to just wait a little bit and fix those things first before we're thinking about six-figure businesses and progress through in a very logical order to get the foundation right before we try to start working on the external things.
So you made mention that you were very privileged, which is a blessing. You always count that as a blessing. I wasn't sure if you meant that as an income bracket or your actual tribe, your circle that encourages you and helps you, to move from one place in life to the other. But let's just say hypothetically, because I'm sure everybody that comes through to your organization, they're not privileged. How do you handle a person who is not privileged? Let's just say hypothetically that person is homeless and they come to your organization and they ask for help. They want to be able to get a job. They want to be able to get life skills. They want to be able to get, daycare and have their mindsets renewed. What would you do with that type of person? What advice would you give them? How would you refer them or basically help them transition?
Yeah, I think again, starting with the foundation, somebody isn't going to get to where they want to be if they don't have a safe, warm, and dry home over their head. So what I do with people is work from where they're at. I would go away from that situation and use contacts within our local public services and find out what help is available for those people. Some people come to me with problems, and unfortunately, I can't do anything about them. The world we live in is not fair to everybody, and not everybody's problems can be fixed. And if people are, for instance, coming to me with a cost of living issue and they are unable to provide food for their family for the whole month, I can point them in the direction of food banks and I can advise them on the benefits that are available. But unfortunately, I'm not in a position to be able to pay for their shopping bill, and I'm not in a position to be able to influence government policies and the welfare that is available in the UK. But what I will do is work from wherever they're at. So the stable foundation is the best place to work from. And if they are homeless or they have finance issues or they are in a bad relationship, that is where we need to start. I'm not going to start talking to that person as though they are ready to start up a six or seven figure business, because they're not going to be able to from the situation they're in without fixing a few things first.
Makes sense. Completely makes sense. So let's just say hypothetically, you have connected them with a proper resource within your community, and now they have housing and they want to move forward. What next?
I think it's finding out what they want to do. So if they wanted to go into employment, then we would work on employment. We would get together a CV, and I also do it in a template where they can apply it to job applications. I always say with any job application, you are just mirroring what the employer has put in their itinerary of what they want from a candidate. If they wanted to set up a business, then there are signposting for businesses. I always start by saying, e-commerce is very, very tough, and I think it's probably the least rewarding business out there because you are having to invest so much money, and not everybody is in a position to do that. So potentially starting with something a little bit more service-based or digital-based is where I always recommend people starting, unless they have a cash injection to put into that. We are also quite lucky where I live that our local council give us £5,000 grant match funding to be able to start our own businesses. So I will sign people in terms of support of where to find funding and business mentoring to carry them forward, trying to reach as many people as I can. I can't work with many people on a one-to-one basis with the funding I have, but there are huge charities and non-profits out there that can, and they have really valuable resources.
Wonderful, wonderful. What would be your parting information? How do you balance it? How would you tell the listener how do you balance the two organizations that you're part of, which I know you say you don't do like full time with that, but how do you balance it with the family, with the children, and keep a positive mindset? What are your, I would say, your secrets?
I think analyzing what brings you results is essential for a business owner. I think it's so easy to get caught up in shiny object syndrome and doing very pointless work that doesn't bring any results to your business. So if something isn't bringing me money, visibility, or impact, I tend not to do it unless it's a legal obligation where I need to like file my taxes, for example. And I think, yeah, getting really ruthless about how you spend your time. I think going into business, and I'm sure a lot of business owners will agree with me, you lose a lot of people out of your life through their choice and your choice. And you realize you need to surround yourself with different people because your priorities are not necessarily what their priorities were. And neither of you are in the wrong for that. That is completely fine. But I have found being a business owner quite lonely because people don't necessarily understand how busy you are and how much your business relies on you, especially in the early days. You don't have a team behind you. So yeah, I think my advice would be, don't spend time doing anything that isn't bringing you really quick results and impact from it, because you can spend ages faffing with websites and editing content and it's not going to perform any better and it's not your main priority, especially when you're a one-person team.
So, what would be your advice for a person who, let's just say, started off in that scenario, or they're still on that hamster wheel now? They're posting content, they're not really yielding. How would you suggest, or what would be your suggestion for them to be able to yield income from that? What do you suggest they do besides, consistent posting and not, generating income? I like to call it income producing projects, one of my favorite, but how would you suggest that for them?
I would from day one get a email marketing list. I don't have any faith in social media platforms because it could be shut down tomorrow. And I think the easiest way to get an email marketing list is to offer something very valuable as a freebie to download. And you therefore get their email and you can send all your marketing direct to their email address. I think with content, it is posting as much as you can and getting as good at it as you can and realizing what works and what doesn't. And that is something you have to be good at in every section of your business. You analyze whether it worked or whether it didn't, and then you know whether to do it again or never to do it again. And I think it's the same with content. I don't think people have the patience to be bad at content to see the results of how good they will get. I think when they're getting like low views, it can be very, very disheartening. But you just have to keep going and see what worked, see what performs the best. And remember that likes and follows aren't paying your bills. Your sales are paying your bills. So if you can convert sales, you need a engaged audience and a converting audience rather than a big audience.
That works. That absolutely works. Where can people locate Bethany Twibby should they want to contact you? How do they find you?
So my CIC Instagram page is Raise Her CIC. That is the same across Instagram and TikTok, actually. And then our website is www.raiseher.co.uk. So yeah, and then they can sign up. We have got a free webinar program starting Thursday, the 19th of March, and it will run for 10 weeks. If they can't make the first one, then we are going to be running it three more times in the next 12 months. But yeah, it's going to go through all the things that we have spoken about today, working all the way from mindset right through to how to build a business.
Awesome. Awesome. That is great. We'll definitely put that information down in the description. But in the meantime, again, thank you for being a part of our show today. I've
Thank you
enjoyed.
very much for having me on.
Are you looking for a savvy speaker to add value to your upcoming event? Cindy, the busy woman's cheerleader, empowers groups across the globe to thrive 360 on purpose, in mind, body, spirit, and finances. As a dynamic speaker known for delivering insight in a relatable tone, Cindy brings real-world experience, practical strategies, and an energy that keeps audiences engaged from the very first minute. She's a thought leader, serial entrepreneur, author, leadership coach, humanitarian, and purpose pusher that produces impactful dialogues. Her style blends clear expertise with authentic storytelling and humorous candor, making even complex ideas attainable and actionable for every audience, be it faith-based, co-ed, or secular. Whether your goal is to empower, educate, or spark positive change, Cindy creates an inclusive environment where people feel seen, motivated, and ready to act. She's now accepting new speaking engagements. Book the Busy Woman's Cheerleader today. Submit your request by email to thrive@thecindyrand.com or online through www.thecindyrand.com. Make your event most memorable and remember, together, we can thrive 360 on purpose. Are you looking?
Thank you again for tuning in to Complete Wellness with Cindy, the Busy Woman's Cheerleader. Follow me on social media at Busy Woman's Cheerleader. Remember, together we write our stories, share our journeys, create memories, and leave our marks in history. Until next time, peace, blessings, and joy be multiplied to you. Ta-ta.